Hi, this is Jacqueline Pigden, the co-founder of Gina Life. Welcome to this audio on what my spiritual guide had taught me that changed my life forever. From listening today, you will discover three things that you can do straight away to positively change your life too. The purpose of this audio is to share with others some of my story and therefore help me to fulfill my quest in life, which is to bring happiness to those who have asked and seek my help. And in turn, this helps me find my peace in the teachings I give and the teachings that I continue to learn. If you are someone who feels like you've been very successful in your life to date, but also feel that something is missing, that you have some issues or challenges or a particular life frustration or a decision that you're struggling to make or resolve and have come to the point in your life where it's really getting you down, if only that wasn't a problem anymore and would simply go away. If you just had exactly what you wanted that was going to make you happy and you knew what that was and how you could get it at the same time, this CD is for you. So during the next 45 minutes, I'm going to share with you some of my background and specific insights that my spiritual guide had told me, as well as reveal to you three of the seven keys that you can do right now to make positive changes in your life to live with purpose, passion, and fulfillment. Also, at the end of this audio, I have a special gift to thank you for listening, and I'll tell you details on how you can get that a little bit later on. So for me, with my background, it all started with a great childhood, and I went to Geelong College. I then studied computer science and information technology and a double major at uni. I worked in the IT industry for about 8 years as both a permanent employee and a contractor in Melbourne, and several years working in London as well. Sport has always been a major part of my life, with netball and gymnastics, running, skiing, and my all-time favourite and passion of rowing. I started rowing when I was 14, and then at 20, someone said to me, "You can't possibly work in Melbourne and continue rowing at that level at the same time." And my only thought was, well, yes, I can. You just watch me. It's totally possible, and I'm going to do it. So then my day went something like this. I had to set my alarm for 4:30 a.m., which I did think that a little bit crazy, and with a very full day ahead that I had for me, I actually moved the time on my clock half an hour forwards to 5 a.m., so it didn't look so bad getting up in the fours. Some mornings I'd get out of bed, I'd step straight into all my already prepared rowing clothes, and I'd look in the mirror and I'd think to myself, "What are you doing, Jacqueline?" But then I'd quickly remember how beautiful the river is in the mornings, how peaceful and calm, how I got to see the sun rise and reflect off the water, challenging my mind, body and spirit, all by myself, all alone so much of the time, especially in the beginning, and how I never regretted getting up to row once, but I sure regret sleeping in and missing that wonderful experience. So after my morning training, I would be finished at 6:30 and I'd quickly shower and dress at the rowing club at 10 minutes flat, sometimes 6, and then I'd take the train to Melbourne. And yes, I mostly utilised this time for sleeping on the train, so when I arrived into my office at 9 a.m, it almost felt like a whole new day. I'd work there until 5:30 and then get back on the train to the rowing club by 7:30 p.m. to start my next training session. 9 p.m. would be another shower and then drive home for 9:30 to eat my dinner if I had the strength, and of course pack and organise all my 4 sets of clothes and many snacks and food for another day just like this. For this commitment, my rewards were plentiful. The friends I'd made, the regattas and places I'd travelled and competed, and the utter dedication, perseverance and pain. They say no pain, no gain. I certainly understood this when I had to tape up my blistered hands with blood coming through the tape to spend all day just trying to peel it off bit by bit, only to have to reapply the tape at the end of the day for the evening session. So after 4 years and numerous state titles and an Australian title and experience in Olympic selection trials, I decided it was time to hang up the oars for a while, quit my IT job and take my next adventure overseas to work and live in the UK. It was there that I experienced excitement, independence, travel, new people, vastly different lifestyles and beliefs. I even managed rowing over there a bit on the River Thames and competed at the Henley Regatta and also picked up a gold medal in the Cambridge Indoor Rowing Championships. But there I was, working and living in London, and after 12 months, I soon found that I was going nowhere fast. I had no direction in my life, and even though I'd been really successful in my life up until then, I felt like I was slipping backwards. I was frustrated and unfulfilled. And it was at this time that I had a chance encounter, and I met a man who was working in IT, and he became my mentor and my spiritual guide. And this is an experience that absolutely changed my life forever. I found that he was fun and full of life and had so much energy and happiness and lots of jokes. But also he was a spiritual person and he had a gift in palmistry, visions, insight, tarot, birth charts and auras. But he was also a very dynamic and well-educated, intelligent person who also works very hard for a living. And what he did was he balanced his spirituality with technology and today's way of thinking to get just the right balance. This really intrigued me and gave me a way of thinking which was aligned to what I already believed in, but I had yet to really understand and discover. So my spiritual guide said that I was looking for answers, that I'd come all the way across to the other side of the world to find them. And then through universal forces, they also found me. And if I were in fact looking for answers and they were looking for me, then I certainly got a whole lot more than I could ever bargain for, and now I wouldn't give it back any of it for anything ever. What happened was that my spiritual guide and I were working on the same document for a big national project, and he asked me how my work was going. Obviously, he saw already not so good. I said, oh, well, I've got these 7 tasks to do on my list. He said, how about you bring them to my office this afternoon? I'll help you with them. I thought, yes, great, finally someone I could see who could help me. So these tasks, mind you, I'd been sitting on them for ages, months actually. I didn't really know how to move on them. I would dread my weekly team meetings where I'd have to give a report on them, and I'd just end up doing what everyone else did and blame it on that I was waiting on something else or someone else hadn't done their part before I could do my part. Anyway, that afternoon, my mentor looked at my list and he said, okay, go and see this person regarding this, then email this person this, then send this to your boss. I know the answer to this one, so that was closed off. And he did this until he came to the bottom. And within 5 minutes, my long outstanding tasks were either completed or I knew exactly what the next step was that I had to do. And I thought, wow, that's pretty good. Thanks a lot. Too easy. Why couldn't I have done that? And this I found out why later. And just to give you the big picture on this particular story, was before I met my spiritual guide, my contract was coming up for renewal within 3 months. And I knew I wouldn't be renewed this time. And I justified to myself that, well, work was winding down and there were older and much more qualified employees on the team. And so I thought, oh, well, that's time. I'll move on and I'll find something else. But my spiritual guide said, there's no reason for that. And as I proceeded on my new path, by the time that 3 months was up, I was not only the last one standing on my team, but I actually got promoted. And I thought, wow, again, this is good. I could definitely do with some more of this. Thanks very much. So how did this all happen and all the other areas of my life improve with the same success? Well, it all started with the beginning of what I call my spiritual journey. And I remember my spiritual guardian and I were sitting in the office building with bright lights and I gave him my left hand. And thinking back now, it wasn't even a conscious choice. It was just a given. I'd always been open to the unknown things out there. Even contemplated going to see a clairvoyant one day, but I never did. And my mum and I were both very creative and hard workers. We'd often joke about other lives and she would say, in my next life, I want to come back as a cat so I can be pampered, fed, and laid out in the sun all day. And I thought, yeah, me too, with really good owners. So anyway, my spiritual guide read my hand, and he told me things that he possibly could not have known. He told me things that I hadn't told anyone in my life. He described my family, who they were, what they were like, how they got on or didn't, exactly to a T. He even described the furnishings in my nana's house. And then he described me. On a single piece of paper, he drew pictures and lines and linked all the things in my life, my personality, the people, events, times, and places. Then he told me things that I didn't like. And of course, I had to defend myself against those things, yet I couldn't for very long, for what he was saying was the absolute truth. About a week after having my hand read and discussions with him, we'd finished work and were standing at a train station. It was the afternoon, and I remember how the sun was pouring in through the panels in the roof. And then he told me exactly where I was heading in my life. He described it so well, and the thing was, he was right, and I could see it. He also said that if I continued on the path that I was on, doing what I was doing, it would lead me right into my biggest fear, which was being alone. And I would end up alone in the long run. And did I want that? No, was my simple, crystal clear answer. No way. So I decided right then and there, and in that very moment, he officially became my teacher. I often look back to this moment, a defining moment when you're given a choice, when something happens and you look back and you return to that moment in a second like it was yesterday, a moment that you'll never forget and stays with you always. Now, when thinking of that choice, there was no choice for me. It was simply I was not going to stay on that path that I was previously on that was making me frustrated and unhappy, and I wanted new and happy, please. So as I proceeded on this journey, I realized that it was not going to be the last defining moment and that I would have plenty more to come, that I had still lots to do and many, many more moments like this to look forward to. And in that particular moment, I didn't realize that I had just chosen to do the thing, the hardest thing that I'd ever done so far in my short or long 25 years. And I thought I'd done quite a few hard and challenging things up into my life until then, but absolutely nothing compares to this, for this challenge was directly with and within myself. And perhaps my life to that date helped me prepare me for this, but then again, I don't think anything could have really prepared me for what I was about to encounter. There I was, it was now or never. My teacher was about to put me through the hardest schooling that I'd ever had. And as much as I believed he would leave me alone so many times along the way, I finally came to know that he never was or will leave me or let me fail. So I began my quest to find peace. What is peace anyway? I never thought too much about it. No noise meant it was peaceful. Lakes, rivers, and mountains were peaceful. Finding peace, though, it often makes one think of religion or saving the world or everyone living in harmony. Is it actually many people's real goal in life? I'm not sure, but it became mine, and not so New Age sounding anymore, but it became real, and that's because I found it. My first lesson that my spiritual guide had taught me was all about myself. You need to know who you are. Everyone has a life purpose, and to be able to fulfill it, you must know what it is. We are all one piece of the big jigsaw puzzle, and if you're not being you, then who is? Strengths and weaknesses. As like most people, one often thinks it's best not to talk too much about one's weaknesses, perhaps even try and hide them. They often think, well, we can't all be good at everything, be positive and only think and talk and use your strengths. But how can one see the light when standing in the dark, he asks. I was in the dark. So that's exactly where we started. Let's look at the things that aren't so pretty. I had no choice, really. They were going to be outlined to me on this spiritual course if I liked it or not. Actually, I soon realized that I just would walk right into the next chapter of his teaching. I was in control of the course, but I felt totally out of control, for I was leading myself into the next dark, hard lesson that I needed to learn. And sometimes I thought, oh, would I ever learn? Because right when I thought I'd learnt so much that I knew it all, what a joke, that I'd reached the next level, and I was a superstar, I thought, yep, I know this, I get it, fantastic, no worries. Then, wham, I was hit in the face when I least expected it with my next lesson to learn. And then, even worse, sometimes it was the exact same thing, just a different place or circumstance, and I'd done it again. And this, I learned, takes all your effort and more to overcome. So, if any of my clients that might be listening out there, let me tell you, I know exactly what you're going through. FDA, fears, dark side, and corresponding actions. We moved into what I did that was bad. For the first time in my life, I understood why particular things always happened to me, why I felt frustrated, upset, uneasy, even how I'd got my successes in life. I was actually in complete control over it. I was the one who made it happen, and it wasn't just by chance. Once I learned this, I could see it crystal clear. I never really saw it as a bad thing in the past. Some people might have made comments, but mostly it was viewed as quite positive. I was using my darkness and dark side to get what I wanted, which was to cover up my biggest fear of being alone. Yet, with my new eyes, I could see it was the very thing that would lead me to me being alone. But only once it was ever so clearly pointed out to me with such meaning was I able to change it, and hence change my path. So you would think this new insightful knowledge, I just stopped, yeah? Well, no, I didn't just stop. My dark side seemed to pop up everywhere I went in every situation. And after only 1 week in my new schooling, I was finding myself almost being expelled. But luckily I was saved and not expelled, and then taught, and I learned even more about myself. When using your dark side, you not only hurt yourself, but you hurt others badly too. And yes, you do have your biggest fears come true. So I highly recommend you seeing yours for what it is and not letting it ruin things in your life for you or those around you. I thought that my teacher probably got a whole lot more than he bargained for too when taking me on. But then again, as I know now, he knew exactly who I was and what I was going to do and what was going to happen before it even became a seed planted in my own mind. So I soon moved from friends and family, work and my past battles to all about me, the teachings and my new challenges. It felt like day and night, and it was full on. And it was day and night, for it lived within me in every single thing that I did, said, and thought was part of it. I was not alone, yet sometimes I found that I was. I had my teacher, and I would talk endlessly, but there was no other person that I could share this with. They just wouldn't understand. How could they understand it when I didn't fully understand it myself? I couldn't explain it, but I knew I had to do it, and I was going to do it if it was the last thing I ever did. Every time I would make a mistake, e.g. allow my dark side to show, and they were frequent, let me tell you, almost daily, not many a day would pass that I would get it all right. For every wrong, I had to suffer the consequence, and because I could see that it was all me, it was in my control, it was my fault, I only had myself to blame. Trying to blame someone or something else to my teacher was wasted breath, and he didn't want to try it very often, let me tell you. So anyway, back then, after a lot of work and dedication to this process where I had daily meetings and emails for months and months on end with my spiritual guider, I learnt very specific things that I was doing, that even though I appeared to be quite successful, I had things that were holding me back in my life, and they were really causing me pain and frustrations. Finally, in my life, as I progressed on this spiritual journey, I felt that I was flying. What I'd learnt was absolutely fascinating, and for the first time, I really knew that I was going in the right direction, and it was just fantastic. The thing was, I simply, it was absolute key that I started to understand myself better, and hence I could manage myself better for good things to happen. Then there were certain things that I learned that I would call predictions, but probably now I see with so many clients, they're basically just patterns. And my spiritual guide would explain them to me, why these patterns were occurring, and then gave me the strength to do what I did in terms of making the changes I needed to and chose to do to become both successful and also fulfilled and at peace at the same time. And it was at this time that I felt like I had a handbrake on my life with one foot on the accelerator and one foot on the brake. But this mentoring and guiding experience was like taking the brake off. And ultimately, it was the trigger for leading to the creation of Gina Life. So the thing is, I carried on like this for a couple of years, learning, growing, and really enjoying my new insights and perceptions and reading books from authors such as Salman Rushdie and Ben Oakley to give me another viewpoint on life. And just to make a point here, different viewpoints on life is itself the essence of Gina Life. Anyway, so after learning this, I started to help all those people around me, first with my mum and dad, other family members and friends in Australia and work colleagues. I would pass that on and what I'd learnt, and I'd advise them on what to do, and they would come back to me and say, wow, Jacqueline, that worked. How and where did you learn that? And how do you know this? What do I do next? So based on this, I knew I was good at it, and I had a lot of people come to me and I could see them changing and getting the results that they wanted in their lives too. And I thought, well, I've done this. I can help these people change. Why can't I now help others all over the world to do the same? So I knew I wanted to help people. I also knew that IT wasn't the career for me forever. And as much as I enjoyed a successful career, there was something else out there. And then it was one day, and I was sitting on the train to Melbourne from Geelong, and I was going to work. And it was the first day back of a new year, and I was thinking about what this year would bring. And all of a sudden, something, it was my instinct telling me that I had to read the section in the newspaper about people's professions. So I quickly searched through the paper and found that it was a profile on a life and business coach. And I immediately thought, yes, that's it. That's what I want to do, my ideal job. No more IT. I want to help people achieve their goals in all areas of their life, and I thought this the perfect medium for me to continue helping others benefit from all I had learned from my spiritual guide. So after further study and graduating in the areas of personal, business and executive coaching and further development on my own spiritual journey, my mentor and I created the company and Gina Life was born. I now run it as operations manager and am responsible for the day-to-day runnings of the business. And I still use my now business partner and spiritual guide to advise me in the right ways when I need it. And yes, I still need it. For me, I think I will always need and have my mentor and spiritual guide in my life as to just keep on learning and growing. And now that's what we give other people too. And if you're wondering how to get this, before I get to exactly what we do at Gina Life, I'm just going to share with you three of the seven keys to spiritual alignment and some things that you can do now to start making positive changes in your life. So first, ultimately what you need to do is you need to stop and you need to work on yourself. And you must look at yourself. If you need help with this, then just let us know. We'll be able to tell you what that is. But the second key is the power to change. Who has the power to change things in your life? The answer is you do. You have the power to change things. Now, I just want to make that very clear. And getting the power to change is first discovering your true self, and then you need to take responsibility for yourself and your actions. You need to know what you can change and what you can't. And the answer to this is that you can only change yourself. Hence, you need to know yourself, then act and believe in yourself. You cannot change what others do. They need to want and decide to change for themselves. However, you can influence change in others, and it's best not by telling or lecturing them, but by showing them the way or helping them. Telling them off or putting them down or not seeing through things through their eyes and their perception doesn't often inspire someone to agree with you. Rather, they feel attacked unless they defend themselves, which is usually defending their actions, which then leads to no change. So you can only change what you think, what you do, and how you do it. If you were one of those people thinking and telling everyone who will listen that it's the other person or people in your life or work situation that have to change, then you're fighting a losing battle. And the number one thing you're doing by putting the blame onto someone else regarding some issue or unhappiness in your life is that you are rendering yourself a victim. Because if you place blame, then you put the ball in their court, and therefore you have no power to change, and then that leads to a poor me thought process, which gets tiring both for you and others within time. So instead of blaming, ask yourself, what can I do? And I don't care what the situation is either. If you want something to change badly enough, you have to do something different. If you wait for someone else to change, you could be waiting forever. If you're in a relationship that's causing problems, then change the recipe by changing what you do, what you say, and how you do it, and therefore change the other person as they will be forced to respond differently. So take one of our case studies. We'll call her Tara. Tara blamed everyone and everything else for her situation and believed she was powerless to change, that she'd tried everything already. Her major issue was fighting with her partner. Tara believed that it was all his fault. He just didn't live up to her standards and he wasn't making her happy. We explained to Tara that she could only make herself happy, and her partner was also on his own spiritual journey. We told Tara to be appreciative of what and all he does and allow him to be on his journey, allow him to shine so she could love him and see all the positive points and not just complain and only see the negative. We also set the task for Tara not to fight or yell back, no matter what he does or says, no yelling. So Tara did this and was amazed because she realized she was being selfish and in that everything was all about her and her happiness when she never stopped to consider his happiness or how she was coming across to him. Tara allowed her partner to shine and they ended up discussing their fighting in a positive way. They both agreed that they didn't want to fight with each other anymore and each took responsibility to making the change. Then they helped each other through this change. And after just 2 sessions and 2 weeks of commitment to this, Tara was able to reduce her fighting with her partner by 80%. And with 3 months, she was no longer fighting at all with her partner and she was happier than ever when other things in her life also improved because of this. So you do have the power to change even what may seem as an endless fighting or issue. You just need to stop and take responsibility for yourself to make the change. Once you do this, you will also feel happier within yourself that you didn't just sit around complaining and already took action yourself, and this breeds confidence, which is another topic. So the key number 3 is that you must act. How you do actually get these results is after you've discovered your true self, learnt your strengths and weaknesses and decided that you will take responsibility for your life, then you need to act. And even if you've decided, you can see your good and bad, but you don't do anything about it, then that's a waste of time. If you didn't take any action to change, nothing will change in you or your life except by chance or forced or led by someone else, and this is usually not in the way you actually wanted things to change. So you need to start small. When you discover your true self, decide to change and act. Set small, realistic expectations. You won't be able to move a mountain. It takes specific, continuous, and dedicated small steps with commitment. So another client story, I'll call her Isabel. She failed to act. And here I will share the consequences of her inaction. Isabel, she proceeded through step 1 of spiritual guidance journey, saw all her strengths and weaknesses. She agreed and decided to change, but didn't follow through. She thought, yes, I see and I know all that now. Thanks, I will carry on my new path. After having a few coaching sessions with us, Elizabeth saw that she didn't pay enough attention to her partner. She never visited her mother and realized that may not be around too much longer, and will show her mum just how much she loves her, and the least she could do was visit her once a week and take her favorite flowers and listen to her mum talk about her day-to-day activities. Isabel knew that she shouldn't take her laptop into bed at night with her husband either to catch up on a few emails for a few hours. So Isabel went off happy with her new decision to do something about two of the most important relationships she had in her life and address her bad so she wouldn't regret it later. But Isabel didn't put in place an action plan to follow through, and as life does, it quickly gets very busy again. Weeks turn into months and Isabel's intentions were left by the wayside. Then one day Isabel woke up and was told that her mother was gone. Her partner also told her that he was going to leave her, and on top of all that, several clients left her business because they said they felt neglected. Isabel was at a loss and thought, oh, but I stopped to work on my things. I accepted my problems and I agreed that they were bad. But Isabel failed to act, and therefore her good initial intentions weren't any good use at all, except for leaving Isabel with regret that she knew she should have, she was going to, but it was too late. This woke Isabel up, and she learned her lesson the hard way. She would never be able to make up for that time with her mother. She would have to live with that forever. But what she could do was, instead of feeling sorry for herself, take serious, committed action and not make the same mistake again. Through action, did Isabel save her relationship with her partner. She was able to hold on to her remaining clients and then in time give back and then receive just what she wanted. No longer would she feel unfulfilled that there was no time. She had made time and she acted upon this and she felt good. So the third step that we're going to talk about today is key number 4, which is stop doing bad. So what is bad? It's up to you to decide, but there are plenty of things that we get away with in our lives that are really holding you back, and if you don't know it, then all you have to do is think of the things that you wouldn't like everyone to know. That if it was plastered over the front page of the newspaper, you'd want to go and buy every copy just to save yourself. So you first establish what all the good things are that you do. But then list out what you would like to change about yourself and what you could improve on. When you eliminate the bad, peace within automatically comes and you can be genuinely proud of yourself and not living in fear. So in this section, it's up to you, and if you need help seeing your own bad, then we'll be able to tell you what that is, no problem, because that's what we specialize in. But some quick and common behavioral points one could work on to get you thinking. One is making appointments and always running late is making the other person wait. And this is just disrespecting their time. So start being on time. Don't commit to yourself if you can't make that time. And start scheduling more time to get to your next appointments as well, so you're not stressed and running around in a rush. It may sound boring to be so organized or to have too much time in between appointments. So what you do here is you end up having some spare time. You can carry around your book to read or make those few short phone calls that you need to do. Being on time will reduce stress, which shows the other person that you can be trusted and relied upon for being there when you say you're going to be there, and you can stop rushing around saying sorry at the beginning of every meeting. Another thing is looking down upon others or judging others. Many people do this, but remember, who is to say you are better than they are? In whose opinion? We believe at Gina Life, no one is better than anyone else in the larger picture. You may have more money or you're better dressed, that they may well have your major life issue completely sorted. Allow others to be who they are. They are here for a purpose. Don't judge them, but instead allow them to be. You just never know who they really are at the end of the day, or what they could do for you, and underneath the surface, or what you can do for them. Another point is admit when you're wrong. Some people can never do this, and if you are saying that you never make a mistake or you're always right, we like to think we're right, but we're not always, and it's the wiser one who will admit and put up their hand and say, yes, I was wrong. Make a point to admit and do this when you are wrong, and do your best to rectify it straight away. You may think that it doesn't harm you if you just let it go and allow the other person to carry on without seeing it, but the biggest problem is that if you don't admit your mistakes, you're actually convincing yourself that you weren't really wrong, and then you go and make the same mistake because you haven't really acknowledged yourself or anyone else or seen it for what it was. So if you're making the same mistakes more than once, you haven't yet learnt from your mistake in the first place. So they are a brief outline of the 3 of the 7 keys to spiritual enlightenment. And if you'd like to have the whole 7 keys, then simply visit www.genalife.com/spiritual_guidance.php and enter your details and you will be able to receive our free report on the 7 keys to spiritual enlightenment. So what does GenaLife do? I get asked this question all the time, and it's a question in itself. GenaLife, if you could put it into one sentence on what it does, is it provides each individual an insight into themselves and a perception to find their own balance. Basically, that's what GenaLife does. We work with and we help people regardless of their background and life challenges, but we specialise in working primarily with senior executives, CEOs and directors who have had success in many areas of their life, but who typically have problems with stress and pressures from balancing work and family life, those who feel like they're out of control, that they're perhaps lacking some direction or don't have their inner drive to do what they used to do anymore. We particularly work with executives who have demanding jobs and who, instead of having a balance in life, they've lost focus on what they really want to do and their day-to-day activities, and they feel that they're just getting consumed by their careers, which then makes them feel overwhelmed, that something is missing in their lives, and they're looking for purpose and passion. So we provide executives just like this with the balance to then have the vision to live in today, at the same time plan for tomorrow and live with purpose, passion and a feeling of inner fulfillment at the same time. So our program, it's very simple. Someone will contact us and we will make an appointment with them. We will then talk with them initially and have a look and feel of who they are, what their personal goals are and what the distractions and issues they're having. Then, once they've gained confidence in us and vice versa, the number one thing that has to happen is the client and us as advisors agree that they have an issue or an area of their life to improve on. That's the first step. Then they enter into one of our unique GenaLife fulfillment programs, which is basically consists of 3 key phases. Phase 1 is all about self-discovery, where we will reveal to you exactly what the underlying issues are that are causing your problems and why you're having them. You will then gain new insights into yourself, and sometimes people don't want to go through this why part because it goes into the spirituality and other forms of gaining information in this way. But then, by doing this, your real strengths and weaknesses will be revealed and we will be able to tell you exactly what you're doing that's holding you back from reaching your full potential. Phase 2 is dealing with these issues. And to do this, the client must take on a certain responsibility on why these issues are happening to them. Most of the cases are that the client doesn't realise they're having an adverse effect right onto themselves. Even those who think that they have everything sorted and going right in their lives are amazed at what they didn't realise and they didn't know about themselves. and people generally not purposely doing anything or consciously trying to do anything wrong or negative. It's on a subconscious level, but they don't know that, and that's key, not knowing what to do. So this part is understanding what needs to be done to resolve the issue. And then once you know what needs to be done, you can go out and do it. You can start making positive life changes right away, following specific tasks that we set together and following your new life plan that we've created. Phase 3 is where we help you develop your very own life success strategy to follow and make sure these issues never came back again. So what outcome can our clients expect? And this is the simplest answer of all. What outcome the client can expect from working with Gina Life is that whatever issues that he or she has come in for, say A, B, and C, at the end of the process, issue A, B, and C won't exist anymore, and that's the outcome. When there is no issue and the client is happy, that is the ultimate outcome that we provide at Gina Life. And a bonus to that comes that you will also get excited about your life. If you're an executive, CEO, or director, there are many other benefits and results you can expect to see in your life from working with us, and they are reduced stress, you can gain work-life balance, increase your self-confidence, you have someone who is 100% committed to helping you, you've got higher energy levels and therefore increased productivity and output, and you've got much better personal and professional relationships. One of the best things that you can expect that after gaining such unique insights about yourself is that you'll have a much better personal management skills, which then directly lead into your task management and your time management skills. You can expect to become more at ease with who you are and what you're doing and where you're going, and simply like yourself better and get excited about your life. A question I get asked a lot is how this knowledge and progress then follows into other areas of your life. And this is one of the best things, is that once our clients start to focus on improving one area of their life, be it work, health, fitness, or relationships, etc., they immediately feel better and happier that they're finally addressing an area of their life that has sometimes been on the back of their mind for years, and now they're actually seeing such positive results. Then this directly flows into other areas of their life, because everything in our lives is interlinked in some way or another. Most commonly, the flow-through effect is due to their new sense of purpose, understanding of self, which creates confidence and zest for life. So as you can imagine, once they've worked out what their issues and what's causing them, once they know exactly what their major strengths and weaknesses are, they can apply this new knowledge to all areas of their life, so everything they do is better, their relationships at work improve, they're healthier and happier, and they get along better with their superiors, their peers, and manage their direct reports even better as well. Their relationship with their partners, as I've already mentioned, because it's a really important one, there is more focus and attention on that. They improve, and also their children, the ones that have children, become even better than ever as well. And one of my clients I saw just the other day was telling me how even their kids seem happier and well-behaved. So that's what I really love about our services at Gina Life, is that it's not just that we're helping the client that we see, but all those associated and who come into contact every day with that person. It's a real flow-through effect and very rewarding for me to help and see people really turn their lives around for the better or improve them to fully reach out their potential when they didn't even know or realize they were missing out on things and so much extra success and happiness that they didn't even know was out there. So that brings me to the end of this audio. Thank you very much for listening, and my gift for you for doing so is to, if you go to www.reducingexecutivestress.com, you can enter your name and email address there, and you can receive our free special report on the biggest mistakes executives make. And for those who are really serious about making positive life changes today, simply call or email us at Gina Life to request a complimentary life audit. So thanks again. This is Jacqueline Pigden from Gina Life.